I found two old pictures of my dad, and one of them I put on Facebook. You can't make out his visage, and I thought, what a great picture of my dad. He's faded into the twilight, and when I see him again, he'll be altogether different than I can remember him. And the Lord has blessed me to outlive my dad and mom. And, of course, they're both in glory. And so I'm thrilled to death. One of my grandchildren's on the way with his dad and mom. He's home from Camp Lejeune. He's one of them, where's Slim at? He's one of them hoorah Marines. Yeah, he's back helping Darnell. But he's in the Marines, and so I haven't seen him in a long time. And can I give him a prayer request, Pastor, if that's all right? My granddaughter, Jayanna, is on the USS George Washington and has been serving in deployment now since January and been in battles. And I understand they're somewhere out there on the sea, so I'd appreciate you praying for her also. July of 1908 and June of 1910 became two commemorative dates in America, even though a lot do not recognize those dates. As a matter of fact, it was later in 1966 when Lyndon Johnson, by executive order, set aside the third Sunday in June as Father's Day. And there's a great story behind, if you ever want to look it up and check it out, concerning the two ladies that did that for their loved one, their father. And so I was pleased to read upon that. In 1972, Nixon, in his administration, set aside and officially recognized this as a national holiday. And you know, when I searched this out, I was amazed. After America did this, most of the nations of the world now recognize Father's Day. That's awesome. I mean, I was even surprised in Iran they recognize, if he gets to live that long, you know, they recognize Father's Day in so many, many countries of our world. Now, my interest this morning is in this subject, the father of. What do you mean by the father of? Well, the word father is mentioned 1,190 times, and the father is mentioned a number of times, and then you've got all the begats and the begottens, and you've got so many, many cliches attached to the dead, the father. But I got to looking at the father of, and I was so surprised. I can't use them all, but three of them stood out in my mind. As a matter of fact, after the pastor had invited us to preach this morning, and that was really a surprise, I told him, I said, you know, there's a thought crossed my mind immediately. When he asked me that, this thought crossed my mind. I did not know how I was going to apply it and use it. But I want to introduce this message in the first point by talking about Simon, who was the father of Judas Iscariot. Here's a man that is only mentioned, thank you, sir, only mentioned three times in Scripture. Three times. And of those three times, there's not hardly anything said about him. Very, very little you'll find in your Bible about this person, Simon. There's many, many names in the Bible, many people named Simon. This Simon is also known as Iscariot. And Iscariot changed to the Hebrew Iscarioth, which was a town in Judea. And that's where Judas came from. That's where Simon came from. As a matter of fact, all the others that Jesus called were Galileans. Isn't that amazing? And yet he had a divine purpose in having this man within the circle of his friends, and if for no other reason, to keep you and I aware of this fact, there are those certain men who sneak in unawares, men of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men. And boy, this is a character to use on Father's Day, but he was an ungodly person. He turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. I mean, he walked in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ that period of time. Historians say Judas was approximately 27 years old. 27 years old. And yet he ended up as a conniver. He ended up as a betrayer. He was a sneaky person. None of the other disciples recognized him. Boy, I know Brother Frank would agree with me. I'd hate for us to know that we had a conniver sitting in Grace Baptist Church, but that can easily happen. That can happen in any church. And nobody really knows who they are until it's too late, till God manifests them. He didn't manifest Judas until the end of his ministry. But Simon, boy, this, you know, John 6:71, John 13:2, and John 13:6 are mentioned places of this man who Judas was the son of Simon. But I want to dig in on something here. Even though we don't know anything about him other than they named him Judas, Simon wanted to name his son Judas. Now, one thing tells me this. His parents were devout Jews. They loved the Lord. Judas happens to be the Greek form of the Hebrew Judah. And who wouldn't mind naming his son Judas, because it means God leads. I can just see mom and dad holding that little baby boy. I've got a great grandson that's just born, 2 months ago, Julie? And I haven't got to hold him yet. I don't remember. Oh, I did hold him. One good thing about being old, you know. How did he feel? I'm lost on that. Jehovah leads. This little baby boy's title was recognized by everyone in Judah. He's going to be a little fella that Jehovah's going to lead him in his life. Can you imagine the news that was received at home when Judas was picked by Jesus? He was selected by Jesus. He's going to walk with Jesus. Can you imagine the excitement? God is leading our son already. And, you know, he's just in his mid-20s. 27 years old when he went out into that field, hang himself. What a character. But it wasn't supposed to be that way. You know, what parent sitting in here this morning listening to this message? Maybe there's a young parent and you've got that little young child. Where's Matthew and Tiffany? Whenever he comes, it'll be Matthew Jr., not Judas. Amen. Matthew, who ever heard of a parent since naming a child Judas? Hello? Or a mother name her daughter Jezebel? That's two names you just do not find in the phone book. Not even in the classified ads. But boy, they had great, great prospects laid out for that precious little fella. That's all we know about him in the Bible. That's the only hint the Bible gives us that he had a good mom and daddy. And that good mom and daddy wanted more than anything in the world for their child. I say this, don't give up. Are you listening to me, mom and dad? If you've got a child that's wayward, don't give up. Granny Turner, I saw her at the Greer camp meeting many years ago, stood on her feet, 80 years old, after her son, she'd been praying for him for 50 years to be saved. And he got saved and stood up at the Greer camp meeting and gave a word of testimony how God had saved him. And 80-year-old Granny Turner couldn't take it any longer. She'd been praying 50 years. God just unloaded a gusher in her. And she shouted all around that camp meeting. She'd walk a little ways and she'd bow down. Woo! Woo! I bet she done it 50 times. If she didn't, it was close. Hey, boy, wouldn't that be something? Now, I don't know what, I can imagine what happened when they got word that their son was gone. 27 years old, dead and gone. So many children die young deaths. They don't really understand or know what. I'm fortunate. I left here the other day, a few days ago, and drove from here to Cleveland, Tennessee. I preached in Cleveland, Tennessee, from there up into the hills of Kentucky. I went up a hoot and a holler. I heard them hooting and I was hollering. I didn't think I'd ever find that place. And I preached on the side of a mountain in the most beautiful little church you've ever seen in your life. Had a great time in the Lord. And then that Sunday, I was in last Sunday in Kingsport, Tennessee, which is just a mile from the Virginia state line in the utmost corner of northeast Tennessee, and then left there and went down through Sevierville and the mountains and back in home, over 1,000 miles. And I know a lot of people my age are not able to get up and get out. I praise the Lord for that. I had a good daddy. I had a good mother. I don't want to leave them out. I can't say that about my granddaddy, Bagwell. My dad's mom and dad died when he was a little feller, so he didn't even know his own mother and daddy. I don't know that I ever saw a picture of my grandmother and grandfather, few. But my granddaddy Bagwell, I loved him. I really loved him, but he never come to know the Lord. That's sad. That's sad if a daddy doesn't know the Lord. That's sad if a child doesn't know the Lord that mom and dad have put so much interest in and so much work in and so much of their life into their children. So I encourage you, parents, even though we have the promise of God, we can just train up a child the way they should go. I'm proud to have my two here today and my grandson, Marine. You done put on a pound and a half, hadn't you, son? Amen. I'm proud to have them here. And I'm thankful they're trying to raise up their children. Some of the others wanted to come and couldn't because of other things. But I'm glad that it's Jeff and Julie and not Judas and Jezebel. Amen. Now, Judas is a good name. Yes, sir, it's a good name. But, Dad, how would you like to be remembered as the father of Judas the conniver? For 30 pieces of silver, that's not much money, he sold the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, down the river. And then number two, and I'm hurrying, I've just got 3 points, but number two, there's Isaac, the father of the called, who is Jacob. And boy, what an amazing factor in this one's life. Jacob the supplanter heard a sermon from God himself and became one of the called. Because the promise was given in Genesis 28, 20 and 21, And Jacob vowed a vow. Of course, he said, "For in Isaac shall thy seed be called." And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, "If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God." There's his change. He made that vow. He changed. He was no more the supplanter. No. Boy, he became a saint. We see his change. And then in Genesis 35:10, we see his calling. And God said unto him, "Thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called anymore Jacob." I want to stop right there and say something. I don't care what your name is in here. God don't know you anymore by that name if you're saved. There's a new name written down in glory, and that's the one God knows. And he's put your sins as far as the east is from the west. Amen. Never to remember them anymore. And he used one cliche and said he'd put your sins in the deepest parts of the sea. And the devil hadn't got a skin diver and go that deep. Well, that's the grace of God. Amen. That's how God can fix those things. That's how God can do those things. We see a change come on Jacob because of his calling. "Now, I'm not going to call you anymore Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name." And he called his name Israel. Israel. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is." Isn't that amazing? God gives you a new name. I don't know what. Have you ever tried to think what your new name might be? Everybody that knows me by Marty. I might get to heaven and it be Cleophas. It could be Fred. I've called so many people Fred, God might say, "You'll get tired of that throughout eternity. I'm going to name you Fred." Wouldn't that be something? Oh, not only his change and his calling, but thirdly, his conversion. Romans 11:26. "And so all Israel shall be saved because of the conversion of a young man named Jacob, whose father was Isaac, and God promised that the seed's going to be called through Isaac. Did God not only convert him, but he said, because of your conversion, all spiritual Israel shall be saved, shall be converted." You say, "Who is that, Brother Marty?" It's a remnant. They're hid somewhere out in this world, just like you were hid somewhere out in this world until the day that God started drawing you. You had no intentions of being saved, but there's a day when God threw that line out there. Since we over here next to the Coosa River, everybody here likes to fish. If you don't like to fish, I doubt your salvation. And boy, God threw that line out there, and that hook got in my jaw, and he set that drag. Y'all not with me. And he started drawing me to him. And as he drew me to himself, he opened my blinded eyes that I might see. Amen. He gave me something I had never had before. Now, I'd made professions. I owned the state record, South Carolina, 47 rededications in 1 year, and then later got saved. Nobody's broke it yet. They contact me every year and want me to come, have a picture made, put it in the Greenville News, but it's too far to travel. I just say, use the old one. His conversion. What a conversion. "As it is written, thou shalt come out of Zion the deliverer and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob." Every one of you I'm looking at in here, you had a Jacob nature about you. And yet there was a deliverer that came to you that one day and turned away ungodliness from you. Amen. And then let me get to the third one. There's God the Father of the chosen. Do you know there's just really three types of people on the face of this earth? All of them are religious. There's the conniver. Then there's the call. You remember the cliche, many are called and few are chosen. Some are Baptist and the rest are frozen. No, y'all not with me, I can tell. Did you not get enough rest? I'm glad I was one of the chosen few. Amen. Now listen to me. The Father God of the chosen Jesus. That's only mentioned two times in your Bible in the New Testament. One's in Matthew 12:18. Behold my servant whom I have chosen. Listen, if you're a child of God, you're a servant. You'll never prove you're a saint until you can prove you're a servant of God. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Y'all heard that story, didn't you? Mama went in and woke her son up. He grown boy. Get up! I don't want to get up. It's Sunday morning. Get up. We're going to church. I don't want to get up. I better not have to call you again. About a half hour, she went back in there banging on the door. Get out of bed! Why? You got to get up. You're the pastor. He's the Father of the chosen servant. Amen. Boy, I'm thankful that God saw fit. I would have never laid my life out to be a servant of the Lord. If I were planning my life, I doubt very seriously that would have come to mind. I know it wouldn't with you, Mike. I done heard your testimony enough. It wasn't with your pastor. I've heard Brother Frank's testimony. That wasn't in his life. He hated people too bad to be a servant. But oh my goodness, when God decides to choose you and call you. I think of Coach Jackson sitting back there and what he went through. Well, I think more of what his wife went through than what he did. But when God decided to call Coach and put him as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. You started out in the Christian Athletic Association. Isn't that correct, brother? And he just went wherever the Lord would open doors. I think it's something like that. Fellowship of Christian, what is it? That's close enough, isn't it? I mean, I can just look out there and think of all of it, how you changed. Danielle wasn't going to marry Brandon until he got right. And he's still about half right. Isn't it amazing how God does that to us? The Father of the chosen. Behold my servant. You know, I think on Sunday mornings when our pastor gets up here and opens the Word of God and how he's preaching, it's like God looks down out of heaven and says, behold my servant. If I've ever met a true servant of God, I met him when I met Brother Frank Thompson. You say, you wouldn't say that if you're sitting there. I've been saying it for years. My children know him. They have great respect for him. I've never known him since God saved him that he wasn't serving God. Through all the trials, through all the temptations, through all the trouble, he's been serving his God because he's come. Then look at 1 Peter 2:4 when I'm done. To whom coming as unto a living stone. I got to say this. You start out as a saved person because God has called you and chosen you to be a servant. And then when you become that servant, you are known as a saint. But what keeps you servant? You as hard-headed as a stone. Y'all not with me now, I can tell it. Stubborn. You're not going to change somebody that God has imputed his righteousness inside their soul. Amen. They're fixed like a rock. They're fixed like a stone. I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day. I'm not moving from where I'm at. Did you know that I cannot go anywhere until I move? Now, can't nobody take this place till I move out of the way. Boy, we need some people today just determined I'm not going to move. I've been here 4 years. We've had more daddies move in and out of here than I can keep up with. Matter of fact, I don't know. If my life depended on calling 50% of the names in here this morning, I'd just be dead and gone. Thank God for new faces. But where's them others? Hello? Like the old boy said, if you can't come, mail your tithe. In closing, I do want to encourage you by saying this. You're just in one or two of these three groups. You're in the connivers, the called, or you're in the chosen. I want you to think a minute. Brother Darrell's going to come and sing an invitational number. There's one thing I do not know. I do not know how God is dealing with you at this very moment. But one thing I do know, I know that His word will not return back unto Him void. It will accomplish what He sent it out to do. If He's speaking to your heart this morning, as Brother Darrell sings the invitational number, and I want to ask you if you'll stand to your feet. We wouldn't do anything in here to embarrass anyone, you know that. So while he's singing, if you want to come around this altar in prayer, you come. If you need someone to pray with you, there'll be someone gladly do that. Would you come, please?